If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for quite a while now, and we'd like to continue along the same line. Let me ask you this question, or let me ask you about the general laws regarding mustahada. We know that there are different kinds of blood discharge, right?
Right.
From the women. My specific question is regarding the law concerning making wudu for these individuals, like women in mustahada. Well, especially as to whether they are offering obligatory prayers or recommended prayers.
Well, when it comes to obligatory and recommended prayers, both of them are prayers, and prayers, whether recommended or obligatory, require ritual purity.
Yes.
And ritual purity is obtained through wudu and through ghusl. And when it comes to a mustahaza, there are different types of istahaza.
Mm-hmm.
There are types,
right,
depending on the quantity of the blood discharge,
right,
depending on the quantity of the bloody emission.
Mm.
Okay. Now, if the emission of blood is very little, to the extent that only the blood stains the surface of the pad ladies wear. Okay. So it's called little istahaza or istahaza qalila,
mm-hmm,
right? The small istahaza.
Yes.
So for that, one wuzu must be performed for every single prayer. For every single prayer. For example, if a woman offers the dhuhr prayer, and then maybe she offers maybe a kind of ihtiyat prayer or a mustahab prayer or any other nazar prayer, okay? She must make one wuzu for each prayer, whether it's mustahab or wajib. Whether it's mustahab or wajib, one wuzu for each prayer when it comes to little istahaza.
Right.
And then...
And should it be differentiated from the menstrual blood?
Because, of course.
You know, how can it be differentiated? Like, this is little blood coming, like, at the beginning, for example, of the monthly cycle.
When the blood discharge is less than 3 days, the blood... And it's not continuous.
Ah.
It comes off and on. You know, it is called istihaza.
Right.
Because in order for a blood to be considered a monthly period or menstruation or haiz,
right,
the blood should be there for at least 3 days. For at least 3 days, not less than 3 days, even by 1 hour.
Mm.
Okay. And of course, the minimum period of haiz is 3 days, and the maximum is 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
10 days.
Three,
okay.
To
maybe in a woman might see the blood cessation, or maybe she might see that okay, the blood has stopped on the 4th day or the 5th day. Of course, then she must make perform ghusl, and then of course do her wajibat.
Right.
As long as she is in the state of haiz, she cannot perform prayer. Prayer,
right,
is haram,
of
and
course,
forbidden. But we were talking about istahaza. Okay. The medium
istahaza. We were talking about the small istahaza. Now,
okay, one prayer for each prayer. For
okay,
each.
Let me stop you there actually for a short break, and then we'll be dealing with, in fact, the different kinds of istahaza. We come back momentarily after a short break.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, before the break, you were talking about the different kinds of or classes of istihada, right? You already talked about or covered the little or small istihada.
Yes, you're right. And then there is, of course, the medium istihaza. This is called istihaza mutawassita, okay? Again, wuzu is required. Wuzu must be done, but
for every prayer
For every prayer.
Yes.
But then there is a ghusl which must be done, one in the morning and the other in the afternoon, right?
Right.
And that ghusl, you know, there is some kind of discrepancy. Some scholars, like for example, Ayatollah Sistani, is of the view that, okay, the ghusl, whether it is mustahab or wajib,
yes,
is sufficient for wudu. But this is not the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini and many other scholars, okay? They are of the view that wuzu must be performed.
Right.
And of course, wuzu should be performed for istihaza, whether it is little, whether it is medium, or even excessive. But of course, ghusl is also necessary for the mutawassita istihaza, which is the medium. Because a medium, what is the definition of medium istihaza? The medium istihaza is istihaza, is a kind of blood discharge which allows the blood to penetrate the pad.
The sanitary pad.
Yes, of course. The pad, and it does not show itself from the other side of the pad. It gets into the pad, but it does not stain the other side, the outer part of the pad.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called
medium.
Medium istihaza. It penetrates, but
right,
it does not come out of the other side of the pad. Yes, mm-hmm. And then, just as I said, one ghusl in the morning and the other in the evening and the afternoon. Then we have the excessive istihaza. Excessive istihaza is when the blood emits and discharges excessively, and it comes out of the pad. It soaks the pad completely,
mm-hmm.
soaks the pad. And when the blood is excessive, of course, the woman should perform three ghusl, one in the morning, another in the for the noon and afternoon prayer, and another for the Maghrib and Isha prayer, which makes
what
life.
What about the wudu?
Wudu is also required.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to some scholars, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini, wudu is required.
Yes.
But the thing is that there are three ghusl that should be performed, and there should not be any gap between the prayers. For example, if a woman wants to perform ghusl the noon and afternoon prayer, she should perform the two prayers immediately after one after another.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And if there is a gap between the two prayers, the woman should repeat the ghusl, because there is a gap. She did not offer the prayer immediately. She allowed, she delayed the afternoon prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, okay? So she must perform another ghusl.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, before the break, when I asked you a question regarding the istihada, and you kindly provided the definition and different classification and typology of the istihada, you mentioned the difference or differentiated from the menstruation or menstrual blood.
Yes.
Different kinds of blood discharge, actually, right?
Right.
Well, and you mentioned that when women are in menstruation, they cannot offer any kind of prayer.
Prayer.
But the question still remains here, and that is the question that I have, and I would like to ask you about that. If these women have, you know, their menstrual cycle, can they touch the Quran too? They cannot offer the prayers.
Right.
But what about the Quran? Can they touch the Quran?
Touching the script of the Quran is forbidden. Even for someone who is not in the state of ritual purity, like he's not in the state of wudu, if someone wants to touch the God's name or the script of the Quran, it's not permissible.
But would it be male or female?
Male or female.
Yes.
When it comes to the state of haiz or the monthly discharge, of course, a woman cannot touch the scripts of the Quran. Okay.
Unless there is a gloves or something, like, for example.
Okay, that's not called touching then, because there should not be, if there is any barrier, uh-huh. Okay, like, for example, you carry the Quran, you hold the Quran,
right.
There's no problem. But it's still even makruh for a lady in her menses,
right.
To carry the Quran and to touch the margin of the Quran and to carry and touch the margin, not the scripts, okay? Mm-hmm. The periphery of the Quran.
Right.
That is not, that's makruh, not haram.
It's makruh?
It's makruh to touch the margins.
Right.
Not the scripts of the Quran, otherwise the script is haram to touch.
What about these ladies in their menses? Are they allowed actually to enter the mosque?
It's not permissible for ladies to enter the mosque, okay, to enter the mosque, if it is mosque, okay? But, okay, it depends on what mosque you are, our lady might want to, okay? It's not permissible to enter, for a woman to enter the mosque of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabi, and also to enter Masjid al-Haram, okay?
Right.
It's not permissible. Uh-huh. But for the local mosque, like, for example, if a woman wants to enter, she can enter, but she should not pause there. She should not stay there. And she should not leave or pick anything from the mosque. And but if she enters, she may enter from one door and exit from the other door.
Does the same rule apply to men in Janab, in the state of Janab?
Yeah, of course, the same rule applies to men in the state of Janab. The same rule applies.
Yeah, they cannot enter the mosque unless they are not pausing there, right?
Yes.
They are going from one gate and out the other.
Yes, of course.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and I would really appreciate your presence here and shedding light on some of the questions that I ask you usually in this program regarding the jurisprudence or Islamic jurisprudence based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to us and joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. From me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الأبطال.